Football Friday with Doug and Wolf. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Pretty good hour here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Dave Pashnow, Marvin Lewis, the co-defensive coordinator of ASU at 7:30 to talk Pac-12 football. Steve Keim, the GM of the Arizona Cardinals, coming up at 7:45. Dave Pash has just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, the play-by-play voice of your Cardinals, and ESPN College football voice. Dave, I got to ask, do you even know how many times does the game that you're going to call play-by-play for on Saturday change during the week?
Yeah, I mean, I've already had two postponed in 3 weeks, so... I was supposed to do Notre Dame this week. That got postponed, and they moved UCF into our window at 9 local on ABC. So, yeah, it's been crazy, but we shouldn't be surprised, right? This is how the whole year has gone.
David, what do you make of the Pac-12 saying, we're going to play in 2020?
Well, look, when the rest of the leagues kicked off, and yes, there have been games postponed, but they're still playing some football. It was making the Big Ten and the Pac-12 look like they pulled the trigger way too soon. So they had to find a way to play. And there was spring football to me was never viable. If it was, all right. About student, yes. Athlete health and safety, you weren't going to play two seasons in 4 months or whatever it would have been. So you were going to have to try to play in January and February, and maybe you could have pulled that off in the Pac-12. Probably not in the Big Ten, but I think, you know, Greg Sankey was ahead of this, the SEC commissioner, from the get-go. He was really the guy that was spearheading this whole thing to just keep moving forward and trying to play and find a way. And it worked. And had there been, I mean, I know you guys probably have addressed this, but, you know, if there was a particular president overseeing all of college football, then we wouldn't have had this issue. They would have all started at the same time. There would have been a set number of games and a set of qualifications to make the college football playoff. But that's why you have this chaotic setup now where who knows how many games really you need to play. I mean, what happens if, you know, a Pac-12 team goes 7-0 and it's like Oregon? Does that mean that they're better than a team that went, 7-2 or whatever? I don't know. I think it's just crazy that this is where we are. But I'm glad at least we have everybody going at the same time, somewhat.
Dave, I think college football really got exposed this year for exactly what you're talking about. But here's the difficult question. Do the powers that be in college football care that they got exposed?
Well, the problem is, Doug, how do they come up with an elected official that oversees all of college football? You have... Bill Hancock oversees the college football playoff, but he's not in charge of the Power Five conferences. Mm-hmm. What may happen is eventually the Power Five breaks away from the group of five and then establishes some sort of system to have people overseeing that group. But right now, it's just every man for himself. And to your point, yes, it got exposed. Mm-hmm. And eventually, it may result in them breaking away. But the fact that the NCAA doesn't have any say over whether college football plays and the college football playoff, it's kind of crazy when you think about it. Right?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, David. I do believe there is going to be a Power Five commissioner, if you will. At some point in time.
I'm not so sure, Wolf. The reason why is if you're the SEC, why give up any power? You probably feel like you're the commissioner of the whole thing anyway.
Yeah. And that's why I brought up Greg Sankey earlier, because he was saying all along, let's kind of like Roger Goodell did, we're aware of health and safety. We're going to listen to the medical experts, but we're going to press on and move forward in the hopes that we will be able to figure it out. Where some of these other conferences said, oh, our medical experts are saying don't play, so let's be safe and pull the trigger on the season. And if there's backlash, there's backlash. And boy, was there backlash. Mm-hmm. I mean, think if you're Kevin Warren and even Larry Scott. It sounds like the information that Pac-12 maybe had was different, and I don't know. Who knows what – when you yes. when we look back at this guy's 5 years from now,
yes,
I wonder, you know, what information
yes.
will come to light that we didn't have in the moment.
Or didn't it? David, there's not only misinformation, there's disinformation.
Yes.
The willful, yes. wanton desire to mislead. Mm. There are two sets of facts that are going on in this country. That's the thing that drives me nuts.
I'm does. With you.
Yes. Listen, I got to ask you this question in regard to the 7-game schedule. Do you like it? For the Pac-12?
I don't like it. I mean, I'd rather them play more games, but because they're starting when they're starting, I'm not quite sure. Maybe they felt October 31st was too early to play a game because of some of the other local issues going on. Mm-hmm. But I do like the crossover games. Hopefully that's something that will stay next year when we get back to some sort of normal schedule, that on championship weekend, when the Pac-12 championship is decided, all the other schools are playing. I love that idea. I hope that every conference does that going forward.
Wow. This is Dave Pasch, play-by-play voice of the Cardinals and ESPN's coverage of college football and for that matter, college basketball and NBA as well. So what's great about having Dave Pasch on, we can talk about anything in the world. He's basically doing those games. So let me ask you a Cardinals question. The mindset of these three games. You've heard us talking about it a lot, of trying to make sure the Cardinals can try to play as well as they can in these three games, even though we all know they are the more talented team. But we've seen like we've crossed this hurdle so many times, even in our own city, where we get up on a team and then they smack us in the face. Why do you think this year's Cardinals team is a little different than some of the other times we've gotten a little overhyped about somebody?
Well, week two was encouraging, the way the Cardinals started against Washington. Yes, Washington beat Philly, but I'm sure when they watched the tape, they said, yeah, this team's not very good. This Detroit team is a team that is teetering on the brink of folding the tent, in the sense of if they go 0-3, I mean, their fans are already done with them. Matt Patricia's probably not going to survive the year unless there's a turnaround. But they haven't been completely healthy. So I think the Cardinals have to go into this game the same way they went into Washington. There still has to be some level of fear. But, yeah, that's going to be tough, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's talking about the Cardinals. Everyone is talking about Kyler Murray. And the critics, especially in Detroit, are saying the Lions have no pass rush. They have no playmakers on the perimeter. And you just hope that the Cardinals can focus. And I think they will. I do. I Me feel too. Like the leadership on this team is pretty strong in that regard.
Absolutely, David. Thank you so much for your time, buddy. Can't wait to call the game on Sunday. Looking forward to it. Love you, bud. Talk to you later, okay?
Yep. All right, Wolf. Doug, okay, see man. You guys.
Thanks as always, Dave. There's Dave Pasch, play-by-play voice of your Cardinals and ESPN voice of college football, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Your family owns and operated dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Coming up next, well, everybody's talking about Kyler Murray, including the greatest receiver of all time. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah.
Our exclusive conversation with the Cardinals general manager is coming up at 7:45 this morning. More on the Pac-12 and ASU fans. Make sure you're listening in the next beautiful part of the program. Marvin Lewis, longtime Bengals head coach, won a Super Bowl ring as the Ravens defensive coordinator, and he's now the co-defensive coordinator of Arizona State, and the Sun Devil will join us coming up. Is it powerful when, in my opinion, the greatest, and factually the second greatest, if you talk to everybody else, receiver of all time says you are?
You know, I think the most dynamic player in the National Football League right now.
That's the comments of Larry Fitzgerald about Kyler freaking Murray.
Well, first of all, anything Larry says, right? I mean, it's just not only is it typically brilliant, Basinonians, and it's hard for me to say that about a guy from Pitt, but it's the truth. It also carries so much weight, doesn't it? Larry Fitzgerald basically is saying Kyler Murray is on fire, and he is the leader of our football team. And this is the area that I wanted to see Kyler Murray continue to develop in the most. Not just his playmaking ability. Oh, my goodness, we saw that last year. We saw the fact that he could make plays with his legs. We saw that he could actually throw the ball, had arm talent that was just ridiculous. But to me, it was his decision-making. I wanted to see him improve and make better decisions while he was competing. That and the leadership. Those two intangible things. Hard to actually measure those things right there. The intangibles. And yet, that's where I think he is improving the most. And I think his leadership is starting to permeate that locker room. And it's one of the reasons why Larry was talking and praising him so effusively.
Larry, what do you think about the decision-making and taking sacks?
Well, I think Kyler's made a conscious effort to understand, you know, when to hold him, when to fold him. He's done a great job thus far, you know, when things are not there, being able to get outside of the pocket, throwing the ball away, you know, not taking sacks that, you know, are preventable. I mean, there's obviously going to be times when guys get beat and he's going to get sacked, but there's also times that we can negate it and, you know, not put ourselves behind the sticks. And I think he's finding that happy balance. And it's fun watching him kind of mature and understand, you know, what he's doing and how he wants to attack it.
It is fun watching him mature, right, and watching what he's doing right now. Have you noticed on all these national television shows, Basinonians, how many times do you see Cardinal tape? How many times do you see the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray out there playing? You see it all the time on these national shows. You can't watch one of these things without seeing the Arizona Cardinals logo or watching Kyler Murray run the ball. It's stunning to me, especially even the Landon Collins play, the one play that didn't happen, the one play that didn't count in that game. How many times they're replaying that run one-on-one with Landon Collins and the little stop and giddy up and then he hit. Yeah, he's doing stuff that is video game type quality right now. And the Arizona Cardinals offensively, one of the, I want to say, top three stories maybe in the NFL.
When you've been playing in the NFL for 37 years, like Larry Fitzgerald, you are NFL history. So you could say this better than anybody.
Kyler can, he can do either or. I mean, whatever the defense gives to him, if they want to play back and play zone, he can beat you with his arm. He can read, you know, multiple reads and get to a second and third progression. He can roll out and create, you know, down the field plays, or he can beat you with his feet. I mean, there's no real limitation to what he's capable of doing. I think that's the thing that's unique. And, you know, obviously when you compare him to, you know, other great quarterbacks, I don't think there's anybody truly like him. You know, he's in a class of his own.
That's a
no
great
in the NFL is like him. That's from,
yeah,
Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, right, exactly. This is what I'm talking about. Kyler comps to Kyler.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Larry just said as well. Kyler comps to Kyler. There's a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, Russell Wilson is a good comparison. It is. I think that right there, I'm not trying to say that Kyler Murray is as good or accomplished as Russell Wilson. But when you talk about how they go about their business, when you talk about their skill set, those guys are very, very comparable. The only difference is Kyler Murray, I think, is a house-it quarterback, a guy that can take it to the house as opposed to running out of bounds after you've gained a first down or sliding. Now, we've seen Kyler Murray do that, of course, but the one area he's really developed, and I think he's so much better this year than he was last year, is finishing some runs. Now, beware, ladies and gentlemen, caution, warning, Will Robinson, warning. And the reason why I say that,
don't push it.
It's exactly right, Douglas. He's got to be so careful. The one thing Kyler's done a great job of is what is getting down and sliding. We've been talking about it for over a year, how good he is at it. Right now, we see him starting to push it where, oh, you know what, he's not going to slide. Now, that does create a ton of indecision for a tackler. It's almost unfair. It really is. Is he going to slide? Or is he going to put a little move on you and then, boom, plant it and go? You don't know. And that's why it's hard for you if you're trying to tackle him without maybe hitting him late or getting a flag.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost unfair. When you're in the open field for Kyler Murray, there ought to be a rule that says you can't put a move on a guy and then slide. You know what I mean? If he puts a little hiccup on and then slides. Mm-hmm. How are you, as a defender, you have no chance. If he's going to do that little hiccup move, you're going to try to make a tackle on the guy. And then he's going to slide? I don't know. At some point in time, they've got to go back to some rules and say, if you're a quarterback and you're running the ball, you're going to have to run the ball. But I doubt that'll ever happen.
I'm just more amazed that Larry Fitzgerald has been in the league so long that he could drop this.
Well, I think Kyler's made a conscious effort to understand, you know, when to hold him, when to fold him.
Now, when I hear that, to hear Larry Fitzgerald almost get it right, but to go Kenny Rogers?
To understand. You got to know when to fold him.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
What do you
Larry,
mean?
That's not crunk. For you, of all people, to go Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
You
never count. Well, I don't know. I mean, Kenny.
You know when to hold him, when to fold him.
I was never a big Kenny Rogers fan. I'm going to admit that, Basin Onions. Are you kidding me? He didn't scream enough for me.
No.
I mean, honestly, yeah, it's a weird time.
Ah! The man in black was never screaming, and yeah, you love him.
Oh, man. What do you mean, the man in black?
I'm totally disappointed that you revere Johnny Cash, and yet Kenny Rogers, and your reason for not liking Kenny is because he doesn't yell enough.
Hey,
but when did you really see anything from Johnny Cash just lose his mind?
Well, Johnny Cash, this is a guy that would stand in a vacant dirt field, okay, with corn stalks all around him and crows, basic audience. You know, I mean, this guy, Kenny was out there with his white hat on and his white suit, and he just, I don't know, looked a little phony, maybe.
It's the white suit. And then the bad plastic surgery at the end was really a bad move. That didn't help.
Get off Kenny because he got his face lifted, man.
Coming up next, the Pac-12 is back. So how long will it take for Arizona State to be ready? 6 weeks? And can you go 7-0 and have a legitimate claim to getting into the college football playoff? Marvin Lewis, the co-defensive coordinator of the Arizona State Sun Devils, plus Steve Keim, general manager of the Cardinals, all coming up in the next 30 minutes on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The man is basically Mr. AFC North, spent over a decade as an assistant in the division, and spent almost two decades as a head coach in the division. Marvin Lewis has just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. He's your co-defensive coordinator right now, working with his good friend Herm Edwards with Arizona State. Coach, good morning. Thanks for coming on and calling into the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You actually have a football game to get ready for now. How you feel about that?
We're excited about it, Doug. Very excited. So just anxious to figure it out, who we're going to play and so forth. But we are. Our players will be very excited. They've been very patient through this whole process. We've all had to be. So excited.
So, Marvin, what is going to be job one? What is your first order of business with your guys?
I'm driving. You faded out on me a little bit. Go ahead, Wolf.
I was going to say, what is job one? What do you have to do with your guys from the beginning? What's the first order of business?
Well, I think the biggest thing right away is, we've been having, Zoom meetings, walkthroughs, and so forth. We've had these walkthroughs since July. So now it's just a matter of ramping the speed and the tempo of things up when we're allowed to really practice football. The strength and conditioning will get them in direction where, so when we begin to really practice football, we can avoid some of the soft tissue injuries.
Boy, which have been really paramount in week two of the NFL season. I'm assuming
right.
This is unlike anything you've ever been through since the first time you ever walked onto a college football campus as an assistant coach, and that is you spent part of your offseason, most of your offseason, getting ready for one opponent for week one. Then you were told you're playing your arch rival in week one, so then you're getting ready for them. And now you're getting ready for a football season, and you have no idea who you're playing against, right?
Well, the funny thing about that is, you're right, is we have prepared for every team in the Pac-12 other than Colorado because it'll be a new offense. So we have literally broken down and prepared and mock game planned every team in the Pac-12, which has been kind of hilarious, including NAU and UNLV prior to the start.
So, Coach, I have to ask you, when we would take summers off back in the day, and I played a long time ago, but back in the day in college when we would take summers off, of course, we'd come back and you had 20 days, 21 days to get ready for your opener. It's taking 6 weeks, so I've got my suspicions as to why it's taking so long, but can you enlighten us as to why it's taking 6 weeks to prepare a young man to play in a football game?
Well, I think a lot of it will have to do with getting the testing in place.
Okay.
And the Pac-12 has been very deliberate on that. That you see why these other conferences are having to cancel games, yet the NBA, NHL, and the NFL, because they're having daily testing or not. And that's the biggest thing, to get that in place before you're practicing real football. So that you have the opportunity for everybody to stay safe and have a protocol that if we do get a positive test, what is the protocol? Because what we have right now wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things. And I think, secondly, the fact that we have been ahead of Utah, probably a little bit ahead of where we are as far as their state has been. But we feel pretty good about where our players are. But the UCLA, Cal, and so forth, not the same.
Yes.
And so I think they're trying to get a little parity, at least a little bit, as much as you can, as far as giving those an opportunity to catch up a little bit.
Good point.
Marvin Lewis joining Doug and Wolf this morning. And Marvin, when you are in charge of the Cincinnati Bengals, it's kind of easy to assume you're always going to have your outliers, but these are grown men. This is your profession, and part of your profession, part of your paycheck, is staying out of the clubs. Your profession is to keep yourself healthy. It's a dangerous time out there. I don't know about you. When I was 20 or 21 years old, no matter how much somebody told me I got to take something seriously, I didn't. How in the world are you guys going to be able to keep 20 and 21-year-old kids away from other 20 and 21-year-old kids so you can play all seven games and keep them healthy?
Hey, well, we our guys did a good job of building a bubble, and then that bubble got taken away a little bit, and so we sprung a leak or two, and we got to go back into that bubble again. And there's no question about it. I'm barely think that we can get that done. I'm very confident that they'll get that done again, because they do want to play. And there was a lot of self-policing going on and reminders to each other about it. So that's what we're going to have to do. You know, unlike, you know, the NBA to go to Orlando or whatever, the NFL, like you said, because their profession, it's got to be a constant reminder on everybody to take the right precautions and so forth. And we've got to set the example as coaches.
We're talking to the legendary Marvin Lewis here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Coach, you know, for a long time, every time we'd go into training camp, every time you'd be practicing for a week or two, whatever it may be, the defense was always ahead of the offense, always, because it just takes a lot more to get the offense on the same page. When you guys start playing games, do you think it's going to be like that? Do you think it's going to be a situation where the defense is going to have an advantage over the offenses?
Well, I think if you keep things simple, I think the defense can have an advantage. I think, as you know, today, offensive football, there's nobody is ever stationary.
Yeah.
And you see that right now in the NFL, where a lot of these offensive teams that are good offensive teams, boy, they're rolling right out the gate. And I think that's the same, will be the same, very similar in college football. The fact that, you know, defensively, you're going to have to really make sure the discipline of what your job and responsibilities are, you get that done. And that's what we've been trying to harp on in these sessions we've been having already, that you have your guy or you have your zone, whatever it is, or your gap and so forth, and make sure. And then we're going to have to do a great job of tackling, and because that's going to be the other thing that, you know, you don't get a lot of. We're not, you know, you're not getting to ease into this season. I mean, basically, we're going into a six-week playoff run, and that's what it's going to be all about.
Marvin, Cliff Kingsbury in the first 2 weeks, granted, San Francisco and Washington have great pass rushers, but he's clearly had the idea of let's do a lot of horizontal passing, make their big guys and pass rushers have to run sideline to sideline, and then pound it down the middle in the second half when they're tired. You can answer this both from an ASU standpoint and from an NFL standpoint. Do you like that in an offseason where there's not a lot of great conditioned athletes? Does that sound like a sound offensive philosophy and kind of something that you're a little nervous about of having ASU have to face that?
Well, that's what we're going to, you know, really have to spend the time as far as getting ready to, like you said, those guys up front and so forth to be able to run and chase the ball. We're going to have a wave of guys. And, you know, in the next 2 to 3 weeks before 2 weeks before we're able to start really practicing football, we're going to have to concentrate on that conditioning element of that.
Hey, Marvin, are you having fun? That's what I want to know.
No doubt about it, Ryan. I really think that, you know, when a year ago when I came over to just be the observer and then, when Tony, Coach White left as late as he did and I put him and install the defense and so forth, it is fun. We have a great group of kids. I'm excited for them. We have some guys who I think have an opportunity to move on and go play at the next level, but they needed this season to do that and prove that. And so now they're going to get an opportunity to do that. So I'm excited for them. You know, that's all part of how we're doing things is to make sure we're training them so they're able to go not only get to the next level but stay at the next level and for us to go ahead and win the Pac-12 and the Rose Bowl in the meantime.
Coach, so much respect to you. Thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Good to speak with you this morning.
Thank you. You too. There's Marvin Lewis, co-defensive coordinator of Arizona State, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Your family owns and operated dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Everybody in football is talking about whether or not the Cardinals need to be taken seriously. That's not our question. How do the Cardinals take their next three opponents seriously? We'll ask the general manager in our exclusive conversation with Steve Keim next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Cardinals GM Steve Keim. Keim time. With Doug and Wolf. Presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
We do it every Friday at 7:45. The general manager of the Arizona Cardinals joins Doug and Wolf. It's Steve Keim. And Steve, now we get to say the general manager of the first place 2-0 Arizona Cardinals gets to join us. So you know where this is coming from. How do you keep people like me to stop saying first place and
playoffs
and talk about all the excitement because it's been down for a couple years? So this city is jacked up. How do you celebrate the excitement of the city and at the same time make sure everybody at Cardinals headquarters is one game at a time and everything's under control?
I think that's it. It is the old adage of one game at a time. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of things that we need to work on. And, you know, even though we are 2-0, we do lead the league in penalties. So when you look at our play on offense, you want to eliminate the negative yards, which is continues to be an issue for us, as well as the penalties in all three phases. So once we clean that those areas up, I feel really good about this football team. I love the character and the men in our locker room. So really excited about where we are.
How glad are you that you sat down that day and watched the tape of Kyler Murray? I know you didn't want to watch it, Steve. I mean, honestly, the kid is off the charts.
I feel like it was yesterday. And again, I, you know, sort of had that mindset that I didn't want to like it, but play after play, I grunted, I groaned, and probably called half the building into my office to watch this, watch that. And certainly exciting, and it's obviously what has got our fan base excited and everybody in this organization excited about Kyler Murray.
I've never asked you such a simple question, but I, you know, we have talked so much about the Cardinals going 3-0 in this stretch, and yet we all know it is true. You know, we can do it as fans and media. You guys can't. So the question is really simple. How's practice? How's practice been this week? Do you see guys that are focused on the process and preparing for Detroit?
I do. And, again, that starts with not only our coaching staff and our leadership. You know, Cliff's a tremendous leader and does a great job of keeping our players focused. But when you have a locker room that has players in it like Larry and Buda Baker and Patrick Peterson and the list goes on, it's not really that hard because those guys really police the locker room themselves and create that competition every day, which is, to me, what you need to have success in this league.
So when you look at trends, Steve, right now that you're seeing, I realize it's still early in the season. You're only 2-0. You played two games right now. But are there any trends that you're seeing that you really, really like?
You mean throughout the league or with our team in general?
Yeah, with your team in general.
Well, you know, I think it's really, you know, I think we've played pretty consistent defensively and have made a lot of improvements, particularly with the personnel. And I said that many times this offseason is we needed to get better in every phase. And, you know, the additions of Devondre Campbell and Jordan Phillips and Devin Kennard, and the list goes on, Drake Kirkpatrick. I really feel like that those players have helped us improve defensively. And offensively, I knew we had some firepower. Obviously, Kyler's ascension and his you know, understanding of the game and just knowing that in year two that he would continue to grow and get better, all those things combined, as well as I feel like our special teams has been one of our strengths. You know, Jeff Rogers, our special teams coach, does a fantastic job, and I feel like our cover units have been exceptional.
Talking to Steve Keim, general manager, Arizona Cardinals, you didn't draft Isaiah Simmons for him to play 10 or 15 snaps a game, yet the reason why he's playing 10 or 15 snaps a game is because it's a rookie during a pandemic and your free agent signing is playing so well. So is it a positive or a negative? How are you looking at being able to take the slow approach with Isaiah?
Well, I mean, I think we're fortunate enough to limit some of his snaps to some degree, but the only way he's going to get better is to get out there and see things, as I said a few weeks ago. Love his attitude. He works his tail off. He's in studying film with Billy Davis and Vance Joseph. So I feel like his future is certainly bright. His athleticism and all those sort of things that come with his skill set to me are tremendous. And I think that he's a guy that will continue just to grow throughout this season. And just like Kyler, it's no different. Again, we saw Kyler last year make some mistakes, and he's continuing to improve as well.
Steve, speaking of growth right here, talk about Cliff Kingsbury and where he's developed and where he's grown the most year to year.
Well, I mean, I just think it's his comfort level overall, whether it's addressing the team, whether it's just his play calling, understanding of what he wants to do with the talent that we have. And it goes both ways. It's me and our personnel department understanding what he wants, as well as, again, how to cater to the player's strengths. He has a fantastic staff, really, really happy with, you know, guys like Sean Coogler, Vance, Billy Davis. The list goes on. I can name them all. I think they're great teachers. I think they're very good coaches. And I think, again, as you work together in year two now, it's a better understanding of how to work together, which will continue to pay dividends down the road.
You already mentioned penalties, and I don't know if that's number one on your list, but when you're sitting here at 2-0 as the general manager of a team that's in first place in the toughest division in football, because there's two other 2-0 teams, what's your biggest concern right now?
Well, when you look throughout the league, it's staying healthy. Now, knock on wood, we've been able to stay relatively healthy. But, you know, as you've seen early on, for whatever reason, and I can't put my finger on it, a number of teams have lost top players, and there are certain players that, let's just be honest, are not replaceable. The next man up mentality is a real thing, but at the same time, there are game changers that are awfully difficult to replace. You know, unfortunately, Deacon Jones and Brian Urlacher and all those great players that have played the game are not sitting out just to hanging out to be signed, you know, if you have injuries. So you have to do the best you can and use your practice squad to your benefit.
Talk to me about Kyler Murray and the intangibles. Talk to me about the impact he's having on that locker room from a leadership perspective. He seems to be growing to me. And I think, Steve, this is just my perception, but it seems like his expectation of greatness, his expectation of going out and playing well and winning games, is that permeating the locker room?
I think it is, but I think it was like that last year. And I think the one way to describe him is, you know, there are players that when you draft them, there's a maturation process in every facet. But the one thing that generally doesn't change with a lot of these guys you evaluate is their natural competitiveness. It's the old adage, you know, if they don't bite when they're puppies, they're not going to bite. And I think that's true in terms of competitiveness. If a guy is competitive and he's passionate about the game, it shows from day one. Now, there are things that you can change and fix and polish up as an athlete or as a football player, but you generally don't change your competitiveness. Guys either love it or they don't. And that's the one thing from day one that Kyler Murray's shown here is how much he loves the game and how competitive he is naturally.
If you're judging it as whether or not puppies bite, what about a dog as old as Wolf? Do you care about a bite like that?
Man, you ain't ever got to worry about Wolf's competitiveness. I'll take him in the street fight any day.
Tell us, speaking of street fight right there, Steve, talk to me about Lamont Gilliard. How's he doing?
Very good. You know, again, for a guy that is coming off, you know, just really two games of significant playing time in our league, I thought he has shown, very, very good mental toughness, physical toughness, good awareness, which that position is it's so critical to have success is to be able to see things, be aware, communicate, and he's done a very, very nice job.
I can't imagine your feeling when it happened again, second straight year, Robert Alford, and you finally felt like I've got my corner opposite Pat P. So I ask you, when you've been able to look at 2 weeks of film, it's not very often you get a guy like Dre Kirkpatrick when you're under pressure like that. How's he looking?
He's looking very good. And I think we were extremely fortunate to be able to pull that off so late in the process. You know, when Robert got hurt, I mean, I would say in the time I've been doing this, I don't know that I felt worse for a young man, not only because he had endured two major injuries back to back, but Robert's a guy that is so passionate. He's such a good team person. He worked his tail off as well this offseason to rehab from his last injury, yet to go ahead and be injured again this entire season. And it was heartbreaking for me. It was emotional for him. Really can't put into words, you know, how I felt about it. And I told him, I just, you know, there's nobody I respect more than Robert Alford and the commitment that he has for this game. And, you know, he's got to keep his chin up and continue to fight. And good things are going to happen in the future. But again, to be able to get Dre Kirkpatrick at that time of the year, obviously the you know, relationship he had with Vance Joseph was huge. The understanding of what Vance tries to do schematically and understanding some of the terminology as well, we were able to get him up and ready really quick.
You know, Steve, I absolutely am a huge fan of Max Williams because of what he brings to the table in regards to 11 personnel. One back, one tight end, three wide receivers, of course. The balance that he brings to that personnel grouping right here. What can you tell us about his condition and when do you expect him back?
Well, he went on IR, and we expect Max back, you know, some point in the middle of the season. I thought, actually, this past game, Darryl Daniels did a really nice job in the run game blocking. We know Dan Arnold can be a mismatch in the passing game, but he's another guy that's hard to replace, again, because of his leadership. He's extremely smart football player. He understands the game, and he's great in the locker room. So we'll certainly welcome him back, you know, as soon as he can get healthy.
Steve, this is a strange question. I want to take a terrible negative, which is a global pandemic, and turn it into a positive outlook, and that is, how has coronavirus made you a better general manager? What's something that you never had done in the past that you now consider, hey, we're good at this as an organization or as a general manager, that's forced you into a different way of thinking?
I've always been a regimented person and a creature of habit. And I think that because of this, whether it's been the NFL draft or whether it's been having to make quick decisions on the run, it's taken me out of my comfort zone, which can be okay. You know, it can be okay as long as you use it as a positive and understand how you personally can grow and develop. And that's the one thing I've done is as fearful as I was of having a draft during a pandemic and drafting from my living room or whatever it may have been, I ended up realizing that there are things that I can take away from that experience to make me better in my job on a daily basis. And I think that has been something that I've applied in every facet this offseason. And I think it's made us all better as an organization. And it starts at the top. And Michael's leadership and Cliff and everybody's been able to adapt. And that's the key to having success is be able to make quick decisions on the move. Everybody can identify what the problems are in life. The real winners are the ones who have solutions.
Man, I'm so glad you sat down and said, I'm going to watch this guy. Steve, thank you, man. Thank you for your time, brother. Really appreciate it.
Good luck against
Detroit. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. There's Steve Keim, general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, joining us on the every single Friday at 7:45, as long as it's not the bye weekend. Cardinals and Detroit. You heard the GM gushing about his quarterback as much as Steve Keim will gush. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.